Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. A few days ago, I received a sweet message from a former member of the church I served in Jerusalem. Chelsea had served on the Redeemer Church Council while she was a student there, and then she went on to Chicago to attend seminary. And now she and her husband serve as missionaries in Rwanda. This is what she wrote to me this week, along with an adorable photo of their daughter. "Hi, Carrie. Hope you are well. I had a moment the other day that made me think of you. I was at a cafe with my daughter Evie, 4 years old now, and the staff had toys for kids. They handed my daughter a squirt gun, and I remembered abruptly that I have not, with some intentionality, included guns in our repertoire of playthings. So what would Evie do with it?" My dear girl watered the flowers. Just sharing this pic because, oh, isn't this the kind of world we want to live in? Isn't this the world we want to live in? Amen? Friends, the photo of Evie alone made me smile, and I'll share it with permission from her mother in the e-news this week. But little Evie also made me think of today's gospel lesson, in which Jesus takes a little child, places her in front of the disciples, and says, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I've been trying to tell you. And not only that, this is who I am, says Jesus. This child who has no status in society, who has no power or authority, who is probably unbathed and hungry, this is who I am. For whoever welcomes such a child as this welcomes me, and not only me, but the one who sent me. Today we are reminded that when we see a child, or when we see a person who is often relegated to the kids' table and not given a place of power or a voice or authority, there we see Jesus. It occurs to me that once again we have been given such an interesting text for reflection as we prepare for an election. For example, on a nearly daily basis, I find myself thinking about any number of people in power in our country or in the world. Just grow up already. Just grow up and stop with the lies and the doublespeak and the scandals that come every day. Please put your big boy or big girl panties on or whatever you wear and do the job of leading us into a better future. Just grow up. It so happens that this past Wednesday, the 18th of September, is the day that the Lutheran Church remembers Dag Hammarskjöld, renewer of society, a Lutheran, who died in 1961. A Swedish diplomat, Hammarskjöld served as the second Secretary General of the United Nations until his death in a plane crash while trying to negotiate peace in present-day Zambia. By the way, also in his term as Secretary General, he worked very diligently to try and improve relations between Israel and the Arab countries at that time. Now, I remember encountering Hammarskjöld's book, Markings, when I was a teenager, and I copied down so many of his quotes in this little book that I had that I carried around with quotes that I had read. They were so meaningful to me, and I was reminding this week of one passage that I think speaks to us at this time. This time when we're faced with a country divided and a world at the brink of a possibly massive world war, and when truth seems evasive at best, seems pretty bleak today. But I remember that Hammarskjöld wrote, "Is life so wretched? Isn't it rather your hands which are too small? Your vision which is muddled. You are the one who must grow up." Ouch. Okay, so maybe I'm the one who needs to grow up, or maybe it's our collective hands which are too small, our hearts and minds that think we are so grown that we become too small, so grown that we become too small to grasp what God is actually doing in the world. Maybe we, like the disciples, need to grow up and listen. Listen really to Jesus. Jesus, who took not a politician or a prophet or a wealthy merchant or a priest, but a child into his arms and said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." So perhaps at this time we would do well to reflect, friends, upon the things we know. The things we know, both from Scripture and from our youth. The things that have been implanted, in fact, in our hearts by the one who is love incarnate, the one who gave birth to the universe. Things we know, like the blessing of turning swords into plowshares, and spears into pruning hooks, and receiving a plastic toy gun and seeing an opportunity to do gardening. It's good to remember that Jesus took this teaching moment that we heard today, this teaching moment about children, and it was in the context of the disciples being absolutely childish. Scripture tells us that they were traveling, probably by foot, through the Galilee to Capernaum. And Jesus had just told them that he was going to be killed and then rise again. And they didn't get it, and so instead they decided to pass the time by arguing about which one of them was the greatest disciple. And then they got to Capernaum, and Jesus let them know that he knew exactly what they were talking about. He said, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And they were silent. They were silent because they knew very well, didn't they, that this wouldn't go over very well. The fact that they were arguing about who was the greatest wouldn't go over well with Jesus, who had already taught them through words and action that the hungry, the poor, women, children, eunuchs, other outcasts, all were welcome in the kingdom of God. And not only worthy of love, but worthy of being listened to. And in response to their childish behavior, Jesus brought an actual child into their midst and said, "Here, this is who you should be concerned with." So why do you suppose Jesus brought a child into their midst? What is it about children that they could learn from and that we could learn from today? As someone who has raised a few children myself, I do wonder if it has something to do with hands. Children's hands are cute. but they also are mostly open. Open to receiving food, snacks, another hand to hold. Children's hands are also often dirty because they're touching and experiencing the world at every opportunity. And somehow over the years, our grown-up hands become clean and worn and tired and closed, sometimes closed so tightly they become fists, and that's what we see playing out in the world today. Instead of being open to receiving love and comfort and new information, we find ourselves merely grasping for power or money or love. Hammarskjöld said, "Isn't it rather your hands which are too small, your vision which is muddled?" Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes such a child as this one welcomes me." Maybe at this moment, we would do well to remember what it feels like to hold the hand of someone who loves us as we cross the street. Maybe we could remember what it feels like to touch the rough coat of a horse for the first time, or to receive an ice cream cone from your grandfather on a hot summer day. Maybe we need those hands and hearts that are so open that we can receive a plastic toy water gun and automatically think, "Look, that plant needs water." Isn't that the kind of world we want to live in? Isn't that the kind of world that our loving God, our risen God, Jesus, desires for us? Now, actually, in this text we have from Mark, Jesus doesn't say become a child. That actually occurs in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18. It's there that Jesus tells the disciples, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." But in the text we heard today from Mark, Jesus simply says, "Whoever welcomes such a child welcomes me." And so I'm contemplating whether this text from Mark, the first of the written gospels, as far as we know, is not really about children or romanticizing children, but yet another moment when Jesus shows and tells the disciples who he is. Jesus had already revealed to them that he would soon be arrested, crucified, killed, and then would rise on the third day, and they didn't get it. And so he said, "Welcome the children. Welcome them. Listen to them. Welcome them. This is who I am, this child that you give no time or authority or voice at all." I wonder today if Jesus would choose a child for this same sermon. Maybe, but maybe it would be a trans child denied medical care in so many places, or maybe a child under the rubble in Gaza, or maybe the children like my own who are looking at the climate situation and wondering if there will be a world for them when they're my age. Who are the ones today who are marginalized? Who are the others who are relegated to the kids' table, who are not given a seat at the tables where decisions are made? Jesus said, "Listen to them, welcome them, because that's not only where I am, that's who I am." Jesus says, "Let me solve your argument, dear disciples, because these are the greatest among you." Listen to them. Listen to Anna and her children who found sanctuary not only in this building, but in your hearts here at Unilu. Listen to the voices of those under the rubble in Gaza, or today those who are hiding in shelters in the north of Israel. Listen to those who are eagerly awaiting the opening of the Harvard Square homeless shelter in just a few weeks. Listen To the non-white voices in our very white denomination who are pushing us to become better witnesses to the gospel. And listen, yes, to little Evie, watering plants in Kenya with her plastic watering gun. Listen to them, welcome Jesus, and not only Jesus, but the one who sent him. Amen? Amen. Now, earlier this week, I saw someone, a pastor friend, post a set of rules for children in worship that they were passing around in their church. Now, we don't, unfortunately, have so many children in our worship services today. But I wondered if we could take these so-called rules, take them to heart and apply them to the way we approach others in our lives today, in the world this week and beyond. Use your imagination today. So here they are, rules for children in the worship service. One, if you find that you're sitting in front of a child and they can't see, lean to the side. Two, if the children seated behind you are rustling papers, hand them a crayon. Three, if there is a baby that's crying, offer to take the baby from their parent and walk to the back of the church and rock the child for a while. The parent really needs a break. Four, if the teenagers are whispering, give them some Smarties. The rustling and crinkling will replace their whispering. Five, if an adult complains to an usher about the noisy children near them, offer to trade seats with that adult and then apologize to the parents of that child. Six, when a child is running around giving everyone high fives during the time of passing the peace, make sure to give them an extra high five and then high five the next five adults that you see. Seven, if a child has worn tap shoes to church and is dancing on the wood portion of the floor, slip the sheet music for the entertainer to the pianist and roll with it. Eight, when the children can't hear because an adult around them won't take off their puffy jacket and it keeps squeaking and distracting the children, offer to help them off with their jacket and go hang it up for them where it goes. Nine, when the three-year-old insists on standing on the front pew, turned backwards, looking at the rest of the people, give the child a pair of very dark glasses that will prevent the child from catching any adult's eye, which would lead to distracting them. This will protect the adults who, as we know, have very short attention spans. And finally, when a child in front of you is squirmy, and they finally turn around, and you realize suddenly, oh, it's Jesus. Take it in stride and play Got Your Nose till he turns around to the front. Dear ones, I pray you will leave this place with hands and hearts open to receive, like a little child, all that God is doing in the world and in your life, and that you will meet the risen Christ in everyone you see this week. And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.